Welcome to Family Talk with your hosts, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, Mom and Dad, the school year is well underway, and here's a question for you. How are you feeling about your child's education? Are you beginning to wonder if they're enrolled in the right place? Do you have some questions about another alternative? If so, you're tuned into the right place. Doctor, today on Family Talk, we're going to bring our listeners up to date on one of those educational options, homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. We've addressed that before, Luann, and there's a reason why we come back to it, because it is a very important topic in this day and time with some of the things that are going on in public schools. I mean, let's say up front, there are many wonderful public schools.
There are
some that are very politically correct and are teaching things that are contradictory to the views of the parents of the children involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least we need to know about another option.
Yes.
And homeschooling is that subject. There were, I'm told, 1.5 million children who were taught at home last year.
Mm.
That's a 75% increase from those who were homeschooled a decade ago.
Well, that's reflecting what you just referenced there, Doctor, the lack of confidence that we feel.
And parents are learning about these options, and many of them are choosing to implement them. Homeschooling as a mode of education is growing, and it's changing all the time. So it's important that we bring our listeners an update on where the movement stands today. And here to help us do that is a dear and deeply respected friend of mine, Dr. Michael Ferris. He's the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, where he currently serves as chairman and general counsel. He's also the founder and chancellor of Patrick Henry College. I'm very impressed by that institution. And he's written a number of books, some of which are on the topic of homeschooling, including The Homeschooling Father, How You Can Play a Decisive Role in Your Child's Success. He and his wife, Vicki, have homeschooled their 10 children through the years.
Something I greatly admire, Doctor.
Can you imagine
homeschooling
10 children and doing all the other things that a mother has to do in a big family? Well, Michael, with that, let me just say how good it is to have you back with us. Now, the last time you were here, we talked about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which concerns me about as much as anything that's out there right now. And if any of our listeners would like to be brought up to speed on that, Luann, we have a CD of that interview available, and every parent ought to hear it. Every educator ought to hear it. But for today, I want to talk to you about homeschooling again. That's one of my favorite subjects. I believe in homeschooling. I've watched the kids who were blessed enough to have that commitment by their parents. But it's constantly changing, and ideas about curriculum are changing. Bring us up to date. What do we need to know?
Well, first, I want to just say thank you again, because our family is homeschooling. We're in our almost 30th year now of homeschooling our kids, because my wife heard one of your very earliest broadcasts on your show about homeschooling. And so we just really are pushing.
Well, you have 10 children.
Right.
She homeschooled them all?
That's right.
Were all of them homeschooled at the same time?
Well,
some of them?
Six were the most we ever were actively educating at one time. The oldest is now 35 years old. So
you said we. Did you play a key role in it too?
A role, yes. I know my wife did the vast majority of the work. But when they were in high school, I thought it was important for me as a dad to teach each of my kids at least one whole year of one subject. I taught all of them constitutional law, which I teach to other kids online as well. But I've taught history, I've taught literature, so I've taught something, and I've helped out some. But my wife deserves 99% of the praise and the credit on that. So I don't want to hone in on her. I want her to know I support what she's doing, and I support the other moms that are carrying the lion's share of this movement. They're doing a wonderful job, and if nothing else, they're teaching their kids the principles of freedom by living out the principles of freedom right in front of them, by providing the education for them for themselves. So a lot of great great things happening. It's continuing to grow, and it's an exciting field.
Michael, that being your great passion, constitutional law, does it concern you that so many young people come through the public school system or even some private schools and do not know the basics of the Constitution? They don't know the system of checks and balances. They don't know the Bill of Rights. They don't know what privileges they have been granted as a result of the Founding Fathers' work. They don't find that out.
No, they don't. Every state in the country requires instruction in the Constitution as a mandatory curriculum item. And what's taught is so boring, is so superficial, nobody remembers. We don't know the most important principle of the American Constitution is Article 1, Section 1, that says all legislative authority is vested in the Congress of the United States, which means the only people that can make law are our elected legislators. President can't make law. Supreme Court shouldn't be able to make law. And for heaven's sakes,
it does.
Yeah, it does. And the United Nations shouldn't be allowed to make law. So we violate that principle. But if we understood that basic principle of self-government, if we understood our basic principle of limited power, if we taught kids the principles of freedom, when all this stuff starts breaking around us and we see this, people will rise up and say, this isn't supposed to happen in America. But because we haven't taught our kids the Constitution, people aren't recognizing the invasions of our freedom that are happening to us every day by our government. We need to have illiterate people. One of the guys who fired the first shot on the British troops when they invaded the Commonwealth of Virginia in the American Revolutionary War was a delegate to the Virginia Ratification Convention. His name was George Nicholas, and he said that an enlightened people will never allow that which was intended for their liberty to become an instrument of tyranny. And he was talking about the Constitution, and he said, if you understand the Constitution, if you're enlightened, if you know what's going on, you understand the Constitution, and you compare it to current events, you'll never have tyrants. But if you don't study this, and if parents don't teach this to their kids, we aren't going to have a free country anymore. And so that's one of the good things about homeschooling. You know, every parent could do this, could teach their kids principles of the Constitution. But homeschoolers are doing a really good job of it. And the effect that I see of homeschool kids in political activity, it is one of the most exciting things to see.
It really is.
And because they see their parents standing up for their actual freedom, you know, because the public officials at times don't like what's going on. And there have been fights in, you know, the H.R. 6 battle that you led and helped me with back in the early 1990s, in 1994, is an example of that. And the kids that grew up with that not only believe in homeschool freedom, they believe in being politically active generally. And that's one of the big benefits of homeschoolers. See with their kids, they raise kids who are politically active. They vote, they give money to candidates, they volunteer for candidates. And when you have high levels of citizenship participation, you know that you're fulfilling actually one of the real dreams of all American education is to increase citizen participation. And so that's one of the real key attributes of homeschooling. Now, others can do it too, but homeschoolers do it more successfully and more convincingly than others at times.
You mentioned H.R. 6. That's been nearly 20 years, yeah. And there are an awful lot of people that have become adults in those 20 years that are listening to us now. And obviously don't remember that or know about it. You need to explain it because we came within an inch of losing the rights to educate your own children.
Well, there was a congressman from Northern California, George Miller, and he put a provision into an education funding bill that required all teachers in America to be certified in the subject matter that they were teaching, which means if you were going to homeschool your kids, you'd have to be certified as an elementary school teacher and in every subject in the secondary level, which is impossible. Nobody had that bad of a 20-year-old experience where they spent 14 years in school getting certified in everything. And so homeschooling would have been restricted to half of 1% in the elementary level, and no one could have homeschooled in the secondary level. And so we worked to alert the American public to what was going on with that. Your program was front and center as the lead way we did that. We sent letters out. We did other things as well. And we didn't have email in those days. It was a different world. But But the National Education Association still has the same position on their official resolution books. They want all teachers in America to be certified. And then you have to read the next or a later section which says all certified teachers need to be required to be members of the National Education Association.
Mm-hmm. So it's a power thing,
it's
really.
It's a power thing. And so they want to control power and money. And it would be a way of blocking all homeschooling. Now, fortunately, the people that are trying to do that are generally in the minority, but there's been a recent trend. I recently looked at all the law review articles that have been written about homeschooling in the last 5 years. And there were a bunch of them, like 40. The fact that so many people were writing about it was an interesting thing. And you have to understand that what is said in today's law reviews represents what's being taught in today's law schools. And what's taught in today's law schools become tomorrow's lawyers, and the next 10 years from now, that's what the judges think. And so, if you want to know legal trends, you can look at law reviews today, just like you could read same-sex marriage articles 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the
here
law.
We are.
Here we are. Well, there are people that are calling for increased dramatic regulation of homeschooling, including one professor at Emory University. A woman is calling for the outright banning of all private education because she says Christians are using this form of education to teach their kids intolerant attitudes, and we should ban all private education, including homeschooling, because of the misuse of private education by Christians. And she basically says,
"Heaven forbid."
Yeah, she said, "I'm really sorry about the rest of you losing your rights, but I don't know of any other way to do it." But because she says it's being dominated by all these Christians, so let's ban it all. And so she's training the next mm-hmm. generation of judges and lawyers, and so that's the trend line, and so. Parents that want to homeschool their kids, or parents that want to give their kids a private education, or parents that just want to be involved in the education of their kids at all, need to be alert to these kind of trends, because there are those who say, we get to decide what your kids will be taught. And right now, the only refuge for a lot of these families, I mean, there was a case in Massachusetts a couple of years ago involving the Parker family that didn't want their kindergarten kids taught about homosexuality.
Well, I remember it.
And they're now homeschoolers because the federal court said the day you deposit your kids inside the door, your rights end. You cannot control what your kids are taught. The school can't even be required to inform you what they're going to teach your kids.
As of right now, are homeschools legal in all 50 states?
It is as of right now. And about 2 years ago, as you remember, we did a broadcast on this when California Court of Appeals decided that homeschooling was going to be illegal in California. And
that was yet another assault.
It was.
You and I went to bat on that one.
That's right.
Too.
And we stood together, and I wrote an amicus brief for the court there in my name and your name, and filed that. And the court allowed me to do oral argument on the constitutional issues and shocked everybody when they ruled for us and reversed themselves. But
that almost never happened.
It almost never happened. It was there's a judge that I know very well in Indiana, and he said, I have never seen a court reverse itself so dramatically in my 30 years of being a judge. And when he read the decision. But
their original decision was very ill-considered. They didn't even really look at the facts, did they?
Neither the facts nor any law since the 1950s. And so we updated them on the law, and to their credit, they reverse themselves, which is really rare. So the battles do come up. But as we sit today, it's legal in every state to homeschool. Now, there's a local superintendent here and there that decides, I'm not going to let you homeschool. I don't care what the law says. And that's what Homeschool Legal Defense Association does, is that we come to bat, and if parents have other problems, and we still see a lot of problems arise, but they're kind of more advanced problems. It's not the trying to just outright ban it very often. But once in a while, it does. I mean, like just 2 years ago, the California court tried to ban it, and so that could arise in any state at any time, and we have to be alert. And we're litigating as many cases as ever, but they're more complicated battles and more advanced. And military admissions, and one of the ironies is one of the cases we had was New Jersey wouldn't let you go to cosmetology school with a homeschool high school diploma. You can go to Princeton,
You
can't go to cosmetology school. Oh, I mean, and so, I mean, we fix that. But, you know, we're fighting battles like that. Sometimes it's just plainly so silly you just have to laugh.
You know, I mentioned at the top of the program that you're founder and chancellor of Patrick Henry College in Virginia. And I've been to your campus, and it's just beautiful there. I'm so impressed by your school. And you started the college primarily for homeschooled youngsters who wanted a certain kind of college education, didn't you?
Right. We let any young person who loves Jesus and is smart come, but 90% of our kids are homeschooled. And there were a couple of reasons I decided to start the school. One was I had a number of members of Congress who were saying, Mike, you know, I'd like a sharp homeschooler on my staff. And I knew they didn't want a 14-year-old. And I'd seen a lot of congressmen being betrayed by their staffers who were more liberal than the congressman was. And so what they were telling me really was, I want somebody who's smart and shares my values. And so that was reason one to think about this school in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
Reason two was that there were a lot of parents in homeschool conferences who were asking me, you know, where's a school that uses the apprenticeship methodology for part of the education? And I guess I don't know of any Christian school that does that systematically. I don't know of any Christian school that does the classics as the core of the curriculum at the time. Now, there's a couple that started since then.
For example?
Well, you know, reading logic, rhetoric, philosophy, studying the Old Testament, the New Testament, studying the Constitution. Blackstone said a classical education requires you to study the law. And so we require everybody at Patrick Henry College to study a constitutional law class that actually there's two of us that teach it now. I used to teach everybody. But we study, you know, the great works of literature. We study Shakespeare. We study, you know, some of the Greek literature. My favorite are some of the Charles Dickens stories. I love some of those stories. But
it's a tough school, isn't it?
It is a very rigorous school. Our average SAT scores are about the same as William and Mary. We're in the mid 1300s, we have five majors: government, which has some specialty in it, some choices of that. You can be a strategic intelligence. We have a lot of our kids getting hired by the CIA or the FBI and that sort of thing. A lot of our kids go to law school. The executive editor of Harvard Law Review today is a Patrick Henry College alumni.
Really?
Yeah. Two of our alumni graduated from Harvard Law School last year. We've got three at Columbia Law School right now. We've got some at Georgetown. We've had some graduate from Duke and so on. Our moot court team has won the national championship 4 out of the last 6 years. I'm the moot court coach, and for 9 consecutive years, we've won more trophies at the National Moot Court Tournament than any other college in America. We go against Harvard and Syracuse and Holy Cross and University of Texas and some of the Cal State schools and so on. And for 9 consecutive years, this little school of 300 kids has won more trophies than any other college in America. One year, we won as many trophies as all the other colleges in America combined.
Is that right?
And so building on that platform of homeschooling and giving them a classical education centered on the Word of God, that's mm-hmm. absolutely essential to us, is it's centered on the Word of God and the living, breathing understanding that Jesus is alive and is in relationship with us every day. You know, it's not just biblical principles. You know, the Word is, and Jesus is the Word, and He's alive. We try to have that spirit, and it's an exciting place to be. And we've got great kids there, and they're going to be leaders. Mm-hmm. They're just going to be leaders of this country.
You know, there are a lot of parents out there who don't understand homeschooling and are critical of it because it seems like a cloister. It seems like they're not going to get a well-rounded background. But what they don't know is that in the 1700s and 1800s, nearly all children were homeschooled.
Right.
And in the classics, I read John Adams' book by McCullough.
Right.
What a great book that is. But to see what that kid read when he was young. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he went on to play such a key role in American history. It encouraged them that this is not some kind of foolish enterprise that works to the disadvantage of children.
You're exactly right. The there have been many studies that show that the average homeschool kids scores at the 85th percentile on standardized achievement tests. So academically, it is clearly the best form of education on average. Now, there's obviously good kids in other systems, and there are kids that don't hit the 85th percentile in homeschooling. But on average, it is by far and away the best. So you can give your kids a first-rate academic education. Socially, 94% of homeschool families have their kids involved in outside activities two or more times a week. They're going to scouts, they're in Little League, they're playing football, they're taking ballet lessons, they're going to church, they're playing with the neighbor kids. And if you think about it, when your kids are studying math, they want them to study math. When it's time to socialize, you socialize. If you're socializing when you're supposed to be studying math, it doesn't work very well. And so it's just it's very efficient, and homeschool kids, the socialization of homeschool kids is actually been studied and shown to be superior because it's not age dependent. I coached girls softball for 20 years. And one year I called up this mom to tell her daughter's on my team. She said, well, who are the other girls on the team? And I read her the names and she said, oh, those are eighth graders. My daughter's a seventh grader. I don't know if she can get along with those eighth graders. You know, I mean I wanted to say, what about socialization? You know, I had three homeschool kids and they didn't care what the other grades the other kids were in. And they got along well with all the kids on the softball team. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality for the vast majority. Sure, there's probably a couple families here and there that maybe go just a little too far in sheltering their kids. But, I mean, better shelter their kids than, you know, immerse them in the worldliness that's out there. But nonetheless, the vast majority of people are sensible about it and give their kids a good, well-rounded experience, and it is a wonderful lifestyle.
Dr. Ferris, you are so inspiring to us as you describe all of this. I want to go back to something you said. This whole area of revisionist history is of huge concern to me. I mean, I see the way history is being rewritten. So for a mom like me who very much wants my kids to understand the truth about American history, what tools are out there to help me?
Well, I've got two books to recommend for you. One I wish I'd wrote and one I did write. The one I wish I had written is published by Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. It's called Why America is Free. It's written for kids in upper elementary grades. You can get it from Homeschool Legal Defense Association. There's only two places in the country you can get the book, either from Mount Vernon, George Washington's home, or Homeschool Legal Defense. And it's a hardcover, four-color book. It's a great book. You teach your kids the principles of freedom when they're in elementary school in this book better than anything I've ever read. Mm-hmm. It was written for the public schools originally, but because it says things like, in America, we believe that rights are inalienable because they come from God, the public schools won't teach it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though that is absolutely factual American history. That's a great book for the elementary years. I've written a book for the high school age. It's called Constitutional Law for Enlightened Citizens. And it's based on that quote I gave from George Nicholas earlier that if you want to have a country that's free, you need to study and know what's going on, be enlightened about the current facts.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are ways so you can study it in depth. There are other things available, but those are two things I can tell
that's
you about
excellent.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ferris, I'm also intrigued with you as a dad homeschooling. In reality, how does that work? I mean, are you really able to dive in and teach your kids like your wife?
And remember, he's got 10 kids.
This is true.
And 12 grandkids.
No, I'm not able to teach like my wife, but I'm able to invest a whole lot more time in my kids' education and in their future because I've homeschooled it. Mm. The thing that I can say at this stage of my life, I've walked five of my daughters down the aisle to get married to wonderful, godly young men. And I know that I've spent time with them. And I'm not walking down there with regrets and kicking myself, wishing I'd spent more time. I didn't spend as much as I could have perhaps, but it was a whole lot more than I would have been able to do if we hadn't have been homeschooling. I was able to take them with me on trips. I was able to do rich activities with my kids. And so I know that the treasure at the end of the road is worth it. It is worth the time. It is hard work, but it is a big treasure you get.
Dr. Michael Ferris, who is the chancellor, the founder, the president of Patrick Henry College, which we've been talking about today, and so many other things. And you are getting another master's degree in law from London University?
Yeah, University of London, an LLM in public international law. I'm doing opposition research and getting a degree for it.
Don't you ever just sit down and maybe think for a while?
Well, I need to take a nap. That's what I need to do.
Thanks for making the trip out here to be with us. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
And if you have more questions about homeschooling or even want to determine if it's a good fit for your own family, we'll have links to some wonderful organizations, including Dr. Ferris's own Homeschool Legal Defense Association, at our website, myfamilytalk.com. And if you'd like a complimentary CD of this program, just ask for that when you call us, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. And remember, you can also get a CD copy of the other program Dr. Dobson mentioned at the top of today's broadcast, in which Dr. Ferris was here discussing the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. That's information every parent and grandparent must know. Once again, that number, 877-732-6825. And if you can help cover the costs of sending out these complimentary CDs, you can donate when you're on the phone or online at myfamilytalk.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.